Chapter 48, Problem Solving and Conflict Resolution. Understanding the perversity of human nature, Jesus gave explicit rules for our dealing with one another. Our Redeemer understood the perversity of human nature, and in order to save the souls for whom he sacrificed his life, and establish his church in unity and prosperity upon the earth, he has given explicit rules for church members to follow in dealing with one another. Hear what he says: "Moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. If he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. But if he will not hear thee, then take with thee one or two more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established. And if he shall neglect to hear them, tell it unto the church. But if he neglect to hear the church, let him be unto thee as a heathen man and a publican." Value the gift of peacemaking. Where are those who do not stint or measure their loving labor for the Master? Who are striving to quell every dissension in the church, being peacemakers in Christ's name? Who are seeking to answer the prayer of Christ, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me, and hast loved them, as thou hast loved me? Could our Lord speak these words, so gracious, so full of meaning, of the churches in their present state of feeble love, of dissension and petty trial? Churches that are calling ministers from important work to settle their little manufactured difficulties, thus showing that they have no connection with God? No. The members of the church must come into unity, and in order to do this, they must have less of self, and more of Jesus. They must learn of Christ. They must be meek and lowly of heart. Their selfish pride must die. Then their mountains of difficulty will be reduced to molehills. When united with Christ, members will solve church problems with sympathy, tenderness, and love. The Bible sets before us a model church. They are to be in unity with each other, and with God. When believers are united in Christ the living vine, the result is that they are one with Christ, full of sympathy and tenderness and love. Problems are solved when we approach others in a spirit of meekness, kindness, and mercy. Never question the motives of your brethren, for as you judge them, God has declared you will be judged. Open your hearts to kindliness, to the cheering rays of the Sun of Righteousness. Encourage kindly thoughts and holy affections. Cultivate the habit of speaking well of your brethren. Let not pride or selfish righteousness prevent you from making a frank and full confession of your wrongdoings. If you do not love those for whom Christ has died, you have no genuine love for Christ, and your worship will be as a tainted offering before God. If you cherish unworthy thoughts, misjudging your brethren and surmising evil of them, God will not hear your self-sufficient, self-exalted prayers. When you go to those who you think are doing wrong, you must have the spirit of meekness, of kindness, and be full of mercy and good fruits. Do not show partiality to one or more, and neglect other of your brethren because they are not congenial to you. Beware lest you deal harshly with those who you think have made mistakes, while others, more guilty and more deserving of reproof, who should be severely rebuked for their unchristlike conduct, are sustained and treated as friends. Solve problems by counseling together. The Spirit of Christ is grieved when any of his followers give evidence of possessing a harsh, unfair, or exacting spirit. As laborers together with God, each should regard the other as part of God's great firm. He desires that they shall counsel together. There is to be no drawing apart, for the spirit of independence dishonors the truth we profess. One special evidence that the Spirit of Christ is abiding in his church is the unity and harmony which exist among its members. This is the brightest witness to the possession of true religion, for it will convert and transform the natural man, and fashion him after the divine similitude. An accusing spirit prevents the solving of problems. There are some who imagine that it is their duty to be church tinkers. It is agreeable to their natural feelings to be seeking spot and stain in others. They watch diligently for something to reprove, and they become narrower and narrower in their ideas, until they are ready to make one an offender for a word. In the Sabbath meetings, when all should be individually engaged in the worship of God, an accusing spirit is allowed to come in, and one bears testimony against another. This spirit is wholly unlike Christ, and leads to dissension and wrangling. God no more accepts such worship than he accepted Cain's offering. There is no more effectual hindrance to growth in grace than this disposition to criticize and condemn others. We have in our experience seen this accusing spirit gradually enter the hearts of church members until it had leavened nearly the entire church, and the result was that little of real godliness or of the Spirit of Christ remained. Unity. Unity in the church reveals Christ more than do sermons and arguments. Wherever severity, harshness, and want of affection and love are exhibited in the sacred circle of the home, there will most assuredly be a failure in the plans and management in the church. Unity in the home, unity in the church, reveals Christ's manner and grace more than sermons and arguments. Satan works to prevent harmony in the church, because bickering causes people to become disgusted with Christianity, the evidence that the world cannot withstand and controvert, that God has sent Jesus into the world as its Redeemer, is in the oneness of the church. Their unity and harmony is the convincing argument. Satan is therefore constantly at work to prevent this harmony and union, that in witnessing the bickerings, strifes, and dissension, unbelievers shall become disgusted with Christianity, and fastened in unbelief and infidelity. God is dishonored by those who profess the truth while they are at variance with one another. Those united to Christ will have true, sincere love for one another. My brethren are well aware that the Word of God presents the matter of church unity as a principle. Those who are united to Christ by the truth of heavenly origin should have strong friendship for one another. If the branches of the vine are united to the parent stock, the same life dwells in them all. In Christ Jesus there is love, and those who are united to Christ will not have merely a tame, common regard as acquaintances, but true, sincere love for one another, because they are endued with the Spirit of Christ. This drawing off from one another is not Christ-like, but it is after Satan's order. E.G.W. 88:1141. When there is harmonious action among members, there will be proportionate power in their work. The success of our work depends upon our love to God and our love to our fellow men. When there is harmonious action among the individual members of the church, when there is love and confidence manifested by brother to brother, there will be proportionate force and power in our work for the salvation of men. Oh, how greatly we need a moral renovation! Without the faith that works by love, you can do nothing. May the Lord give you hearts to receive this testimony.